Are you a bit hesitant to ask the Lord for what you need? Pastor Ray Bentley says God wants us to come to Him with our requests.
Ask your Father in heaven. You have not because you ask not. Why don't you pray and go to Him and bring your needs to the Lord? If we would just ask the Lord about them, He will bless us. And listen, if it's right, God will give it to you.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Bashfulness, uncertainty, lack of understanding. Who knows why we don't take advantage of God's invitation to ask Him for what we need. But God is clear that He wants us to bring our petitions to Him. Let's map out some steps in that direction today as Pastor Ray begins today's study in God's Word.
We're going to look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let's bow our heads and pray again. Father, we just come before You and pray and ask in the name of Jesus that You would speak to us, that we might hear and respond to the love of our Father, to know the heart of our Father, and to follow You through Your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In His name we pray and ask all these things. And everyone said, amen. Let's start with the first two verses. Grace is given here to the humble. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Here, James is declaring that most of the problems of man come from simple greed and selfishness. And when you think about it, this has been the root problem of mankind from the beginning. In every generation, in every society, in every kind of culture, even in every form politically or economically, eventually, greed finds its way in and ruins everything. It ruins the greatest and the best of empires and men. Because eventually, man's greed, sooner or later, takes a hold, gets in, and corrupts and ruins everything. Now, apparently, James is saying that it is this greed that was also the source of the problems within this early church. Now, James was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus, and we believe that from what we are told, James historically is the earliest first book written of the entire New Testament, written even before the Gospels. So it's a snapshot into the earliest days of our brothers and sisters of the early church 2,000 years ago. And there was fighting and quarreling and bickering and struggles for control. This is only days after Jesus has resurrected from the dead. I mean, we're talking the very beginnings of Christianity. And the beauty of the body of Christ, on the one hand, is that so many different people from so many different backgrounds that otherwise would not get along at all are somehow miraculously, through Jesus, brought together in one family as brothers and sisters. And while Jesus unites us, when you get a little beyond that and get into the personalities and the idiosyncrasies of different people, we would be like fighting like cats and dogs were it not for Him. And it really makes sense because on the one hand, while Jesus draws in and unites people from wide backgrounds and makes them one, you can see that very diversity, which is the beauty of the body of Christ, also has the seeds of potential for great conflict. For instance, as I mentioned, you might have up in let's say the house church 2,000 years ago, up there in the third row is a Pharisee. The Pharisee representing the, you can't get more religious than a Pharisee. The way they dressed was, their whole life was about their religion. But they could be very legalistic. In fact, it was because of the Pharisees that had driven many others away. So here on the opposite aisle is a Sadducee. The Sadducee represents, you know, the modern, guy today that's kind of, he says, I'm an agnostic. Which is a polite way of saying, I don't want to offend the religious people, but we don't really need God. The Sadducees were materialists. They didn't believe in the life after and heaven and angels and all that. It's like, hey, we're here right now. What difference does the future make? Maybe this is all there is, so let's live for money. They were the philosophers. And so then in the back row, you've got a tax collector. Everybody hates that guy. And he's come and joined the church. And then over here is a woman with the background of a harlot. And so the fighting as the body begins to grow, it's like, who's going to lead? Well, the Pharisee says, well, obviously, we're the first in line. We're the religious guys. The Sadducee goes, no, you hypocrite. You put a heavy burden on everybody else. And frankly, your kind of people are the reason I gave up believing in God or heaven at all. Because you're so legalistic and you do nothing but lay burdens on people. Then the Pharisee goes, well, yeah, you guys don't believe in anything. So you don't trust anybody and you live only for yourself. So you can't lead. And then, the tax collector says, hey, I've got a suggestion. Everybody says, you can't say a word. The immoral person gets up and says, well, you know what? The whole reason I left God and lived an immoral life is because you're all hypocrites and I wouldn't follow any of you. So there was all this fighting and quarreling and bickering and who's going to lead. And James, he says, you know what? The root of the problem is that we're all sinners. And here's what I find interesting. Every once in a while, I will hear somebody will write a little essay or a report or make a comment on the modern church and say, boy, the church has gone off the rails. And what we need to do is we need to get back to the early ancient church. And then I read James chapter 4. And I go, well, which part of that church do you want to go to? And here's what I have discovered. If even right after Jesus had risen from the dead, in the earliest days, and even though there were miracles happening and people were getting saved left and right, even then, 2,000 years ago, there was no perfect church. And 2,000 years later, there still is not a perfect church. And the truth of the matter is, if you were to find the perfect church and then you joined it, you would ruin everything right there. Because the only place the perfect church exists is in people's minds and imagination. There never has been one. Every church that has more than two or three people is going to have problems. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's going to be that natural struggle to say, well, I should be the one to lead or guide or influence and everything else. James says it's that pride that brings strife. In other words, if there's quarrels and fights going on in the church, he said that is a mirror letting you know that you're at war within your own heart for pride, for control. And that's true of a country. When there's wars within a country, it's a mirror of the war going on inside of that country, or that matter, for a world. The truth of the matter is then, it doesn't take a genius to look at everything going on in the world and say, the war within is bringing all the wars on the outside. And, often we will veil religious quarrels under the guise of spirituality. Look, I'm just thinking of the sheep. I just want to be, do everything right. And you can end up like Miriam and Aaron, who started complaining about Moses' wife, but that's not what the real issue was. What the real issue was in Numbers chapter 12 is they didn't like that Moses was in charge. Miriam was Moses' sister. Aaron related to Moses. And they're going, hey, well, what about us? Why do you have to be the only one to lead? And already, even right there, within the family, after the great exodus from Egypt, starting to be divisions. Moses had not chosen his calling. God had revealed himself to him and called him. And there was the unity that came in that. So being selfish, we have to acknowledge that. And so James starts working. What I like about James is that James is kind of the in-your-face letter. He's the brother that is in your face and makes you uncomfortable. And while everybody is saying, well, can't everybody just be nice and get along? And he's going, no, that's a smooth over. That's a cop out. Let's deal with the issues. The hearts are not right here. And your selfish desires are manifesting a selfishness within your heart, and it will ruin you on the inside. I put a few scriptures here. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus is telling a parable, but let's read this scripture, Luke 8, 14, out loud together. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, Jesus says that there's some, you know, the seed falls and there's some that just, you know, they get very emotional in the beginning spiritually. Oh, they're responding and their hearts are touched. Good thing. But then they let it lay fallow. They never grow. They don't ever develop any fruit. And others let the cares and the pleasures of the world choke out the spiritual life that is within them. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let's read this scripture out loud. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, and he goes on to explain. He's saying the same thing. He goes, when we were in the world, we were all selfish, living for ourselves. Now that we've come into the body of Christ, and we admit we're not perfect yet, we have a long way, and we'll never arrive at perfection here. But we have to admit that when there is fighting and struggle for control, that is a manifestation of a selfish or a prideful heart, and that we need to humble ourselves before God. As he will later say, God resists the proud. And he's talking about believers who have pride, not unbelievers. This is all about the body of Christ.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's so encouraging to us to hear how these daily studies are touching lives.
Dear Pastor Ray, I would like to express my appreciation for your messages I hear on K-Wave Christian Radio. I accepted a job in Orange County and listen on my commute between San Diego and Tustin 3 days a week. Your genuineness, sincerity, biblical scholarship, and above all, your love for the Lord Jesus have helped me so much in my awkward and sometimes difficult walk as a Christian. I find your presentation refreshing, enthusiastic, and truthful. When I listen to your preaching, I find myself glorifying God.
How have Pastor Ray's daily studies touched your life? Would you drop him an email and let him know? He'd love to hear your thoughts. It's confirmation that these studies are effective. Write today to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Let me read to you James 4, verses 1 and 2 out of the New Living Translation, just to get a little different flavor on it. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it, so you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. You could go to the Lord and ask him. But he goes, it's manifesting this selfishness and this pride and this desire to be in control. He's saying, if you are friends with the world, and apparently there was worldliness within the hearts of those who were fighting within the church. And James goes, don't you realize you can't be right with God and also be popular, as it were, in the world? You cannot walk a life filled with heaven and then be walking compromised with the pleasures of the flesh and of this world. He goes, in fact, if you do, God is at war with you, or God is your enemy. And he's again talking about as a believer. God will stand in front of you. He will block your path, not because he doesn't love you, but quite to the contrary, because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be destroyed, or he doesn't want you to be wiped out. There was an intriguing experiment that was done some years ago. This experiment shows, listen, that a male butterfly will ignore a living female butterfly of his own species in favor of a painted cardboard one if the cardboard one is big. If the cardboard one is bigger than he is, bigger than any female butterfly ever could be, the male butterfly will jump over to the piece of cardboard. Nearby, the real, living female butterfly opens and closes its wings in vain. It's been deceived by color on cardboard. And this is a graphic illustration of what the devil and the world and the flesh offers. It's big and it draws your attention, but there's no there. It's cardboard. It's not real. It's not alive. There's no relationship thing that can ever happen to it. And meanwhile, the real butterfly and the real source of life is being totally ignored. This is a great example of the temptations of the world. And the truth of the matter is that we all, as human beings, have been deceived or believed in a cardboard butterfly at one time or another. And what God is saying is, hey, wake up. How many of you are tired of trying to find life in a cardboard world with a cardboard deception, cardboard, reality? There's nothing there. Come back to the living God and to the true source of life. And then James adds, So there's things that you want and you desire. Fine. Ask your Father in heaven. You have not because you ask not. Why don't you pray and go to Him and bring your needs to the Lord? If we would just ask the Lord about them, He will bless us. And listen, if it's right, God will give it to you. If it's not right, God will not give it to you, because He doesn't want to hurt you. There are many things that I have prayed for passionately, persistently, and that God did not answer my prayer. And thank the Lord He did not, because my prayer was wrong, or it was amiss. I was asking for something selfishly for myself, and it wasn't good for me. Well, now, from a perspective many years later, I look back and go, wow, thank you, God, that you didn't answer those prayers. There is a certain kind of teaching right now, generally, and I'm generalizing, I realize. I have no specific individual in mind, but let's just call it the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. And basically, the idea that talks about faith and prayer is that by using these as tools, God will give you what you want. But what I have learned as you read through the whole Bible and you compare Scripture with Scripture and receive the whole counsel of God is that prayer and faith is not about me getting my will done. Prayer is about God's will being done. Prayer is about me discovering what God's will is and aligning myself with His mind, His heart, what He has in mind. I love what my pastor, Chuck Smith, says, and this is something that stuck with me and has always been in there. He says, what if God comes to you one night and He says, all right, son, I love you, and I love you so much, ask anything, and I will give it to you. And immediately, something pops in your mind, and used to, when you were young, you would say, oh, I want this, He says, I don't do that, not anymore. He goes, I have learned that whatever I ask is either amiss or way smaller than God, my Father, had in mind. So now when the Father comes and says, ask, son, I love you, I want to spoil you, I want to bless you, ask whatever you want. He says, I turn it around. And I say, Father, what do you have in mind? What do you want to give to me? What do you want to do for me? What do you have in mind? And he goes, I have found over and over and over again that God, our Father's heart toward us and His plans are so much bigger and so much greater than anything we might have had in mind. Trust Him. Amen? Just trust in the Lord. Now look with me in verse 3. He says, now you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So the question I ask is our pleasures or God's pleasures? There's only one that lasts. Do you think that James is saying that Christians are not to desire pleasure? Answer, no. I believe that God's will is to bring more pleasure into our lives than you could ever dream, imagine, hope, or conceive of. It is good to enjoy a beautiful day at the beach. It is good to enjoy a sunrise or a sunset. It is good to enjoy the pleasure of a wonderful meal or a barbecue, taking in a concert or reading a book or a thousand other pleasures. God delights in His children having pleasure, and He desires for us to experience pleasure, spirit, soul, and body. And the truth of the matter is, God is the author of all true pleasure.
Important clarification from Pastor Ray Bentley as we work our way through the truth found in James chapter 4. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called He Gives More Grace, and we can send it to you for your gift of any amount. Contact us and mention the title, He Gives More Grace. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in James on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, I heard the word Judaophilia the other day. The definition is an interest in, respect for, and an appreciation of the Jewish people, their history, and the influence of Judaism, particularly on the part of the Gentile. Should Christians have a healthy dose of Judaophilia?
Well, that's a great description. That's kind of a new one for me, although I know what it means. Judea, that's the area of southern Israel, and actually the tribe, Judah, from whence our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, Jesus Christ came from. And then Philea, love, like Philadelphia, to love the Jewish people. Look, if you go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you know what you're going to find? There's a lot of Jews in there. I don't know if people are aware of that, but they're everywhere, starting with Abraham and going all the way to the end. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of David. God loves the Jewish people. He set them aside in a very special way, in a visible way, so that His word and His prophetic knowledge of the future, He is declaring and prophesying what He's going to do in this world, His kingdom from heaven's coming from heaven to the earth. And Israel is a physical sign, symbol, visible, prophetic reality that can be tested by the scriptures and prophecies God made. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the book of Revelation says. So if you're in love with Jesus, you're going to love prophecy. And prophecy is all about God's dealings with the Jewish people in light of the world and the nations as He prepares to set up His kingdom and send His Son. So there's never been a greater time for believers around the world to pray for the peace of Jerusalem than this very hour. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when peace is happening in Jerusalem, then finally peace can break out all around the world. And so that's why we want to celebrate a window in time, the year 2018, the 70th anniversary of the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and the way we're celebrating it is by way of Pastor Ray's new booklet called A Window in Time. We hope you'll get in touch for a copy of this timely, informative resource. We're making it available during the month of May to say thank you for your donation of any amount, which helps keep Pastor Ray's teaching coming your way. Again, when you send your contribution, be sure to ask for A Window in Time. Just write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in James. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.